Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on
Community Radio.
Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Nock.
And I'm Donna Pruskintas.
We gather here at the beautiful downtown Ames studios of KHOI Community Radio. We talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. We're going to start out this show with a little quick announcement here. We have a missing person here in the central Iowa Ames area.
Oh, dear.
Kayla, known as Kaylee Russell, age 16, sex female, height 5'4", 124 pounds. She was last seen Sunday, the 11th, November 14th. At 4 p.m., heading south on Duff Avenue. And her mom would like to know where she is, and lots of us would. And so if you have seen her or contacted her, please call the Ames Police at 515-239-5133. Much appreciated. And if you would like to see a picture of this missing person, go to the KHOI Facebook page. Well, KHOI... that's this radio station, and kind of sliding into the fundraiser time of the year. This is the time to put your money where your ears are. So we'll be talking more about KHOI in this hour. And today on the Donalana Kitchen, we're going to look ahead to the holidays. Donna has some good advice for some holiday making and givings, and a few thoughts also about cooking a pheasant. Why not? But first, let's take a bit of time to talk about this community radio station.
Yes, this is an all-volunteer, real community radio station right here in Ames, Iowa. And also, a gift membership would make a lovely Christmas present for the person who has everything, because we have more of everything on the radio show here, all kinds of voices in our very own community in central Iowa. So to continue our mission, we'd like to move beyond being a listener to being a member for all of you listeners. Our goal is 30 new members during this fund drive. 30, that's not a staggering amount in a town this size. Please become one of them by calling 515-292-2878 or by going to khoifm.org and pressing the donate button. A basic membership is just $60. That's a mere 16 cents a day. Or if you can donate $100 to acknowledge how valuable and precious it is to have community radio in our area. Or you can become a friend of KHOI by donating $250 or more to secure a solid financial base for the station. But every amount counts, so call us no matter what you can give. And please call 515-292-2878 or go to our website, khoifm.org, and click the donate button. And Donna and Lana will be very happy you did. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to our listeners. And thanks to all everybody in this town that got this radio station off and running and also keep it going.
And yes. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate our listeners.
Great. Well, let's think a little bit about, we're kind of sliding into the holiday season here, and it seems each year there seems to be this panic that rises to a fever pitch, and it has to do with shopping. It has to do with, oh, we've got to be perfect, we've got to buy everything, whatever our kids find to buy, we have to buy it, and if there's a shortage, heaven forbid things are floating around in the Pacific Ocean in container ships yet. There's all kinds of things that kind of keep us on edge this year, and it's just not, I don't think, very good for us. They've even invented something called Black Friday, which kind of just flames.
It's black. It's blink.
Yeah. Flame. Flames the fans. Fans the flames for this. Remember, the holidays are supposed to be a joyous time of year. We shouldn't have to work so hard to be joyous, but there you have it.
And there is this thing to counter Black Friday is National Buy Nothing Day.
Ha ha.
I'm a big fan of that.
It's not that hard, folks. I tend to be kind of a cheap sort of person anyway, so I'll just stay home. But anyway, think of that as the holidays sort of build on each other.
Actually, Lana, you are not cheap. You are extremely generous of your time and your energies and your creativity.
When it comes to money, I tend to be...
Well, we're thrifty. That's different from cheap. Waste
like
not,
that.
Want not, and all of that sort of thing.
We can do that. And there's a joy in that, too, when we get down to finding out what is enough. Enough. I like that word, enough.
Enough.
For one thing, it's always hard to spell because it's one of those antiquated E-N-O-U-G-H. Why does that translate to enough? I don't know. But enough.
E-N-U-F.
E-N-U-F. That's good, too. When is enough? Enough. I ran across an interesting little comment here. It's from the article from the New York Times from earlier this month. And someone coined a new word called skimpflation. Skimpflation, and it has to do with the unease that we find this time, because we can't get everything we want, and we worry, and we buy, and oh dear, and skimpflation, because we are feeding our dissatisfaction with the state of the economy. We are dissatisfied with the economy. We're dissatisfied with the government. And we become dissatisfied with life in general.
Well, that is encouraged by the national mainstream media these days.
And somehow...
Buy more. Fill yourself up. Woo-hoo.
Why is the buy more an antidote to this? I don't know. Here's an interesting...
Some personal emptiness, perhaps.
Here's an interesting quote... from this article saying, Americans don't encounter the government every day, or at least we don't believe we do, but we do shop, and we use in-person services almost constantly. And compared to the past, American consumption is getting both increasingly expensive and, well, decreasingly pleasant. We kind of, the money goes way too fast and we can't get the things we want.
Well, and we have reached a point in our economy, and I think this is widely acknowledged, that basically the economy runs on consumer spending, which means if they don't drive us somehow to spin, you need this, you want that, you can't live without this. And that's a losing battle for all of us.
Yeah.
I had parents that grew up in the Depression. So my mother taught me to be, what was it? You can only spend it once, one of her favorite sayings.
And there's so much that we can spend and live and experience without the money thing. A lot of talk about the economy. Whose fault is it? Oh, my goodness, whose fault? When will this situation return to normal?
Nobody knows. All on Facebook. Hello.
Oh, dear. Nobody knows. The answer will help determine the national mood during the next midterm campaign. And our mood may depend on if we think of ourselves as consumers or citizens. Think about that for a little bit. Think about being a little bit more of a citizen. That's got its rewards, too. And back to enough. Enough. What is enough? What is enough money, time, work, food? What is enough stuff? Am I an individual? Or are we a collective? And is that enough? As a global society, we've bought into the idea of scarcity. Yet scarcity is a fabrication. That's kind of a mind blower there. But yeah, think about that. Our problem is not we don't have enough. It's the majority of us, particularly the most vulnerable, don't have access to abundance. And hoarding of these resources by the wealthy reinforces a system of exploitation. Ooh, that's an inflammatory word there. But it does. Here we are experiencing skimpflation. Let's think this coming season of the fact there is plenty of food, plenty of health care.
Well, there are things you can make, like Goodwill.
Yes, very good. So let's, as we go into through this show, let's think about enoughness and what we really need to enjoy ourselves and our family and this holiday?
Well, my solution, of course, is homemade Christmas presents. And, of course, for me, the homemade is, you know, I mean, I can sew, hello, but I mostly cook, so it's going to be food. And, you know, I have yet, after many, many years of taking the same tactic, I have yet to have somebody not like my Christmas presents, you know? I mean, you don't eat it and forget it.
Nobody takes back your fudge or anything.
No. I mean, of course, you know, I have to be careful who I'm giving what to, because you have to know what people like and if they have allergies or if they're this or that. But, you know, if you don't know your friends well enough to know what they like to eat, then maybe you're not being a good friend.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to talk on this show about a lot of things because I'm getting ready to make Christmas presents. And it isn't something that you want to run out to Walmart in the last 2 days before Christmas. You need to start now and plan and enjoy it slowly. And I started this week by...
You did good.
Yes, I bought a few of my primary ingredients and I brought them in for Lana to taste. I started with 3 bottles of liquor.
Well, Dana, why would I think that you did that? Okay.
Well, it's not to get drunk during the holidays, but these are really primary flavorings.
Ah.
So, I bought Fra Angelico, which is a hazelnut liqueur.
I never tried
Amaretto,
that.
Amaretto, which is an almond liqueur. Mm-hmm. And I bought a bottle of bourbon.
Ah! Well, I think you're ready. You're right. I like to get out Christmas recipes, cookies, bars, cakes, and sometimes they call for this stuff. And... Well, I don't necessarily have them on my shelf, so
you're right about going early. You start by stocking up, but, okay, I'm already thinking about, okay, what am I going to need when I, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, it could be late night or early morning, and you decide, oh, now's the time to, well, now, for example, is the time to make the fruitcakes.
That's right? True. That's true.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So what do you put in fruitcakes? You put liquor, like brandy will be good for that, or... I didn't buy brandy. I bought bourbon, but you could do that too on the fruitcake. So I want Lana to taste the Fra Angelico. This is the hazelnut. Tell me what you think. It's sweet.
It is. It's amazingly sweet.
Yeah.
I think a little dab would do this.
You take some of the sugar out of whatever original recipe you're doing because it is a sweetener. For example, I made panna cotta yesterday, which is the... It's half and half in gelatin and a little sugar. And then you set it, you know, pour it in a cup. And I made it with Fra Angelico.
Yes. I mean, you've all the rest of the year, the recipe says put in some vanilla. Well, it's nice to know we can kind of expand our lives.
So the
here.
Fra Angelico is kind of mild, and it took more than I thought to sweeten it up, as opposed to the amaretto, which is, it has a lot more oomph to it.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. You wouldn't need as much.
Yeah. That is the, I have cooked with amaretto before, or baked with amaretto.
Yeah.
And that, oh, that's a nice one. See,
this is a Luxardo amaretto, and it's an almond base. So we've got hazelnut and almond. So here are some of the things that I'm thinking I might use these in. They're almost interchangeable, kind of, in a lot of ways. Not completely.
I want to mention that Fra Angelico is... Fra Angelico is a Renaissance painter. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Sorry.
Fra Angelico, and it is almost flowery. It's light.
It's light. On the label it says, according to legend, Friar Angelico lived 3 centuries ago in the rolling hills of Piedmont in the shadows of the Italian Alps. Through his love and knowledge of nature, he created a precious liqueur made from carefully selected hazelnuts and other secret ingredients. We continue this tradition by proudly offering this fine liqueur in honor of his name. And it says, with natural hazelnut flavor. And both of these, the Luxardo brand is also Italian. And the Amaretto di Sasturia?
Yeah, that's cool. That's good.
I don't know how to do the CH in Italian. I'm sorry. Terrible with it. But anyway, Luxardo is also an old Italian family They started with their maraschino cherry liquor, which does not taste like maraschino cherries. But and most of their stuff is usually more high-end in its flavor. So now a classic and wonderful to do at Christmas is to just add amaretto to your hot chocolate or coffee.
That's easy.
And it doesn't take much because it's fairly strong flavored. You could do the same thing with the Frangelico. Eggnog would be another good thing. Of course, bourbon or whiskey is common in eggnog. Now, I got it because I always make something chocolate for my Christmas present. So either I'm going to make fudge or I may go back to making chocolate truffles this year because I haven't done it for a long time. But either of those, you know, can be flavored with, I wouldn't use them both together. I would use one or the other. Or bourbon. Mm. Bourbon and chocolate is wonderful. As we already mentioned, panna cotta could be flavored with all of these. Cakes and cookies. Now, there's two things you can do. Like if you're doing a fruit cake, you could mix it in like the way you would vanilla. Pour it in as a flavoring. Or you could soak it on afterwards.
That's kind of traditional for
fruitcake. Yes, it is for fruitcake with you know, soaking them in rum or bourbon or whiskey or something like that, and then kind of wrapping it up in cheesecloth and letting it age. The other thing I was thinking that might be nice for Christmas is I have this wonderful lard pound cake recipe.
Ha!
Now, usually that's flavored with some kind of lemon things, or I've used the Fiore di Sicilia, which I get from King Arthur's. But for Christmas, a little soaking it in amaretto might be nice on the top.
Oh, that's good.
You know, some of your cookies, Lana, like there is an amaretto cookie that, that most Americans have bought. It's Italian, but some of your cookies might be nicely flavored with it. Alana is a big Christmas cookie maker.
I already have a request from my husband for the ever-popular coconut butter balls, which are little heavy-duty chocolate. It's a cookie. It's really pretty rich and wonderful. And I never thought of putting a different flavor in there. You know, but that sounds like a good thing.
I'll give you some of my amaretto for a trial. This bottle will go a long way.
I have a question about using these liqueurs. If you're going to bake with them, doesn't all the flavor bake away? Or
not the flavor, just the alcohol.
Okay.
It's just think of it like using vanilla.
Oh, vanilla.
A lot of vanilla extract is alcohol-based.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's the same, you know, I mean, not necessarily the same quantity that you would use of vanilla, although the amaretto isn't going to take as much. Mm-hmm. It's pretty strong flavor. The Frangelica, you will need a little bit more. I found a David Leibowitz fresh ginger cake that uses 4 ounces of fresh ginger.
Thinking
that would be really good with either of these two liquors, just to make it Christmassy or something, you know?
Oh, the ginger would make it
Christmassy. I know. That David Leibowitz recipe, by the way, is in the New York Times cooking section if you want to look it up. Now, the other thing I'm working on, which I do every time this year, is candied orange peel.
Do tell.
That's the one where you cut the oranges in half, scrape out the pulp, or you can juice the pulp and save it, you know, save the orange juice. But really what you want are the skins. So I use organic oranges for this. And then you boil. I usually do about 2. That makes a lot of orange peel, right?
Oh, okay.
So you boil them in water and throw away the water. Then you boil them again, throw away the water again. Then you boil them 3 times and throw away the water. Then you cut them, because they're soft at that point. Then you cut them into strips or whatever bits you want. I usually do them maybe 1/4 to 3/8 of an inch wide. And then you boil them with sugar. Now, the Joy of Cooking has a good recipe for the proportions on that. So then you're boiling them with sugar and water, and not too much water, but some, right? And you have to boil it down till they get sticky, and they're reduced and reduced and reduced. And then I pour back in the orange juice.
Oh!
To give it a little more orange flavor, and then, you know, keep cooking it down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if I don't get them quite sticky enough, I will put them on a Silpat on a tray and in a slow oven and dry them out a little more. And then, of course, you at the end, you roll them in more sugar. Now, I have to tell you, I have kept them for as long as a year. They are really well preserved. They last really well. Now, you can do grapefruit with that. You can do lemons with that. You know, any citrus. And it does not taste like the stuff that you buy at the normal grocery store.
Yeah.
Candied orange peel is wonderful. I can't believe that you keep it for a year because that's something I eat.
Well, it was an accident. I lost it in the pantry.
Oh, okay,
and
okay.
Then I found it again and I went, and it was perfectly fine.
Because it's got so much sugar.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
again,
yeah.
These are, you're eating a slice of orange peel. It's not like you're sucking down all the sugar at once. But it's really good.
Oh, and it's so good. Like if you are going to make your own fruitcake, having the homemade or orange peel in it makes all the difference in the world. And I have to say, I never buy the stuff at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Why bother to make a homemade fruitcake if you're not putting in real fruits and nuts, you know?
That's true. I learned that early. I've been trying different kinds of fruitcakes
I was looking through the, you know, King Arthur just sent out their catalog
holiday
this year.
So
I was looking. And they do have bags of candied orange peel and a candied lemon peel. Now, if I were inclined to buy it, that would be probably worth trying because they notoriously have higher quality product. Mm-hmm. And the pictures don't look like the stuff that you see in the grocery store. So, you know, that would be a go-to if you don't make your own.
Also, dried fruit from organic dried fruit from, well, in our case, the food co-op. But I've used things like papaya
like the pineapple in my fruitcake, the dried pineapple.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, cherries. I love cherries. And then raisins are classic. Mm-hmm. I tend to try to use golden raisins if I can find them. But if you're putting those in with your own homemade candied orange peel, man, it just sings. The whole thing is beautiful. And then I'm a big fan of pecans in my fruit cakes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They're just sweeter and more wonderful. That's my preference. And
very good.
I don't know that I'm going to make pound cake or fruit cake this year. I haven't decided. I don't know. We'll see how ambitious
we get. That is part of the joy of this, slowing down a little bit and not panicking. Because enjoy when you're baking and then enjoy giving it away. That's going to be a fun thing to do.
Well, it is this little, you know, we're coming into Thanksgiving, so it's this slow gallop where you start off and you get everything together and you decide what you want to make this year and who's going to get what. The thing about Thanksgiving is it's such a standard menu that you don't really have to think about it a lot. So I'm already leapfrogging from, you know, because from Thanksgiving, boom, you're going, you know, there's parties to plan and gifts to give. And
people get upset if you don't have some of the original the things that the pilgrims had, which was, you know, the canned cranberry. Okay. Well, you know, tradition is tradition, and everybody likes a good traditional Thanksgiving dinner, and you can't beat a good turkey anyway. So there you go.
Right. So we are thinking about Christmas. I have to say, I was thinking of something else that would be fun for Christmas buffets and stuff like that that would also work for Thanksgiving. Jello shots.
Oh,
I was thinking if you made cranberry Jello shots or cherry, I was thinking red for Christmas. And we're not using Jello, we're using gelatin with real fruit juice. And then you put in a little shot of, now if you put too much alcohol in, the Jello won't set, right? The gelatin won't set. Then this is not like, you know, get you drunk on vodka at frat parties kind of Jello shots. But it is nice. For example, if you did cranberry, you take the cranberry juice, you spoon the appropriate amount of gelatin to liquid, which you have to look up on the internet, and you let the gelatin kind of dissolve in the cold liquid. It's called blooming. And then you just heat it enough, and then you pour it all in a Pyrex pan so that you've got a flat level surface, which you later cut into cubes. But if you took cranberry and added like cassis liquor a little bit to make it a little more flavorful. Yeah. Or cherry juice would also be good. Now, what you have to remember, I was thinking of serving it like with the dessert courses. Like, okay, you're going to have your pumpkin cobbler and you're feeling all sweet and full. And so then you take a nice cranberry palate cleanser jello shot. Right? And then you can move on to the pecan pie.
Oh, Donna, you think of everything.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Now, here's the only thing you have to remember. The jello needs to stay cold or it will melt into a puddle. So you've got to cut it up and leave it in the fridge until it's time to bring it out. And if you serve it, like if you want to put it on a buffet or even during the dessert course, you take a plate or a bowl, a shallow bowl, and you fill it full of ice cubes or crushed ice. And then you set another bowl on top of it so that you're keeping it kind of chilled while it's sitting out there. But, you know, it's a colorful thing to set on the table. And it is a nice palate cleanser for when you're going to eat 3 or 4 pieces of pie.
Well, I like this. This is a
thoughtful, don't you think?
This is a public service announcement from the Donna Lana Kitchen.
Yes.
And this is KHOI. This is Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about being a little sane and joyful during the holidays. Kind of slow down and enjoy your cooking. Enjoy baking something. Enjoy making something this holiday. And Donna's been talking about things to make and bake and give. Do you have anything else for us, Donna?
Well, my brain is getting into gear with the holidays, which, thank goodness, I'm relieved that it's still working that way. I do love the Christmas holidays. It's a good thing there's 12 days of them, too.
Oh, we've
got a long ways to go. So another thing I was doing, and Lana and I have talked about this website before. It's called Food 52. And they put out some really good cookbooks. And they are, you know, basically your online merchandising, blah, 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 blah. But they have a huge amount of very good recipes. So, I mean, when I don't want to go out and buy a new cookbook or something, you know, and I want some new stimulation, besides the New York Times, which is always another fairly trusted site. But if you don't have a subscription to the New York Times, Food 52, I would recommend do your sign up and sign in, because then they have a place where you can save the recipes that you like, because there are so many recipes there. If you find one and you can't remember what it's called, believe me, you will never find it again. So if you like do the sign in and you don't have to buy anything and you never have to buy anything, it's okay. But they are a wonderful source of food inspiration. Like our, what was that? A grown-up's birthday cake is from Food 52. That was a really good recipe. So I was just kind of browsing around in there the other day, and here's some things that I found that I wanted to, sometime during the holiday season, kind of fuddle around with. This one is not necessarily sweet. An apple Gruyere buckwheat biscuit. It's the recipe is sort of scone-ish. It's even cut in a triangle, but the combination of apples and Gruyere with buckwheat and a savory scone, that just sounds really wonderful for a brunch some morning, right? Okay, another recipe. This is, you know, you don't even need much of a recipe for this, but they had a ginger cookie with, guess what? Citrus peel. Great idea. You know, for jazzing up the ginger cookies or your grandmother's old ginger recipe. Now, this one would go for Thanksgiving too. I almost said Halloween. We've been there, done that. Okay, we are on to Thanksgiving now. Orange blossom candied cranberries. Doesn't that sound nice?
What? Sounds great.
Yeah, you cook the cranberries, but not very long because you don't want them to turn into mush.
Ha! Okay.
You want to keep them kind of, you know, round and whole. And you cook them with a little water and then some orange blossom water.
What? That sounds great.
Yeah. And then you cool them off and roll them in sugar.
Oh, they're a finger food.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
little, you know, cranberries that.
Cranberry
another,
bits?
Another palate cleanser. I bet you could even make the cranberry jello things with orange blossom water, too. I bet that would work.
Or float the little cranberries in the jello. Oh,
that's traditional, right?
Along with some bananas and marshmallows.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Okay,
never
now
mind.
Here's another one that I am dying to try, and if it's really good, I will get back to you. But Angostura popcorn?
Oh, for goodness sakes.
So Angostura bitters is something that every barkeeper has. You know, it's a bitters. You do a few shakes into certain drinks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard
of
that.
So this recipe, basically, you pop the popcorn, and then you mix butter, sugar, and Angostura, and several tablespoons of it, and you make a syrup. Then you toss the popcorn in it. Oh, and salt, too, of course. You toss the popcorn in it, and then you put it in the oven for. So it's like candied popcorn, but with Angostura flavor.
Oh, I like doing that.
I think that'll be fun for, like, Christmas cocktail parties or little sitting, you know, who knows, something. But I'm going to try it just because it sounds so interesting. Now, the other thing I saw on that list was cooking a Cornish hen, which is, you know, fairly common. But it had a recipe for cooking the Cornish hen with grape mostarda.
Huh.
Okay, so mostarda is an Italian thing which has several kinds of mustard in it. It's usually fruit-based, and it's kind of, it's a little like a jelly, but it's spicy, and spicy and sweet at the same time. It can go on a cheese plate or something like that. So I was mostly interested in the grape mostarda recipe. However, glazing a hen with it or a chicken was a really, really good idea. So these are just several that I picked off of the Food 52.
Aww.
And believe me, there are hundreds of recipes there, and you don't have to pay a penny for it.
That's a good thing to do. It's a good place to look.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of glazing hens and things, or glazing...
Okay. Oh, yeah, poultry.
This is the time of year. Those of us that hunt and those of us that know people that hunt, we end up with things to eat. I recently had a friend show up at my back door saying, here, do you want a pheasant?
Woohoo! Lucky
and
you!
Sure. I haven't cooked a pheasant in years. And it's a kind of like a very long, tall, lean chicken. So, that's a good place to start. So, where do you go when you have questions besides calling Donna? You grab your old copy of The Joy of Cooking.
Because that's where I would look, too.
And I've got an old regular, it is thumbed, it is good. Donna's is even in more tawdry shape than mine.
Oh, mine is in such bad shape that the cover fell off. But I got a newer edition, but I used the old one because it has all my notes in it.
That's important.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have lots of advice on how to cook game and birds. And now, I don't know whether this is out of fashion, but I just run across some of these terms in this recipe book. I've never run across them before. Hanging a bird, drawing a bird. I mean, we do this. Barding a bird. Barding. That is the term.
Barding is when you lay, like, You can bard with bacon, or you can bard with caul fat, which mm-hmm. is a certain sheets of fat that come off of the mm-hmm. pig, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's a way of adding. So all game usually has less fat than like a homegrown yeah. chicken or something. Yeah. I mean, and that's true of venison as well, except for Iowa, the deer in Iowa are eating awful lot of corn, they are a little bit corn-fed and have more fat than
fine.
In some places. But barding is a way of adding extra fat because the gay meat is often leaner than what we're used to.
I do remember that. And this, the kind of the fashion nowadays, hunters, instead of plucking their birds, a lot of game birds are just, you just take off the skin. And,
yeah, it's like a rabbit. You just skin it.
Yeah, just take off. It's just
it's
a little
easier.
Better there. And so, now, the joy of cooking about this barding, putting lard on things, there are even devices like long syringes and needles that you can
Inject the fat into it. That's pretty fancy stuff.
And I thought, oh, dear. And as I usually do, I kind of read the recipe, and then do it my own way. I did have bacon fat to start out with. So this pheasant, which was lovely, it must have been a very good shot. I did find one shot piece in it, but it was a very nice and very large. And I looked up and this recipe called braised pheasant, which means cooking it undercover.
With
some liquid and starting out by...
Which is a good way to keep it moist.
Yeah, it's very good. Now, this said put the pork fat or the bacon under the skin, of which I did not have. But I sautéed the pheasant first in a pan in some butter and some bacon fat. And kind of
how bad could that be, Lana?
How bad? And that's a good start.
Yeah.
And this my casserole was not big enough for a whole, so I getting out the trusty kitchen shears, snipping the backbone kind of halfway down.
Oh, right down the back. Yeah.
I had front part and mm-hmm, back part. Mm-hmm. Those are technical terms, front part and back part, and they fit nicely. So I sautéed the meat first. I put in my covered casserole. It was just, if I squash it together a little bit, it was just pheasant size. It called for a small peeled tangerine. I actually happen to have an orange. A little orange in there is good. And then some mushrooms, and I put in some shallots. I did have some shallots and some minced onions, two teaspoons of flour.
So shallots and onions.
Yeah, I have.
Why not?
Why not? And salt and pepper to taste, and mushrooms. I've got a lot of dried mushrooms at home, so that went in. These were golden oysters, actually, and. So you sauté that stuff, put it in, and cook it for half an hour.
What did you do for braising liquid? Nothing?
I had some leftover chicken stock.
Perfect.
Chicken stock.
Perfect.
Not quite a cup. I had two-thirds
Right. You
of
don't
a cup.
Want it to be soupy. You
no,
just want it to steam itself.
Yeah, this was not
See, now all
covered.
Of those flavors are fairly mild mm-hmm. and will not cover the delicate flavor of the game bird. That is really, really nice.
It just turned out really mm-hmm. good, and the idea of being sure to add extra fat, that's good. And I haven't had a pheasant in a long time, but that was really good and good.
Well, you lucked out. You know, the problem with game birds is you don't know how old the bird is.
You don't know where they've been. Yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't... sometimes the hunter can tell how old they are, and sometimes you don't know. And because, like an old chicken, an old pheasant is still going to be tough.
Right.
But braising is a good way to break that down in case it's really tough.
Right. Well, in older times, the idea of hanging a bird until it sort of rotted. It sort of aged.
Because, and that was a way of breaking down the toughness in the meat, and that's why they did it.
I didn't want to try that. I just decided to try my luck with this braising. And the recipe from the joy of cooking, and their advice about what to do with birds and things was quite good. So
well,
joy of cooking
is a classic,
again.
And if somebody brings you a rabbit, I'll be right over, okay?
Okay.
wild Iowa rabbits are just delicious.
Actually, yes.
For a while, I had some young man who was in the graduate sustainable egg program, and he was from a rabbit hunting family, and he was always bringing me rabbits, and oh my goodness, they're delicious. And the same thing you do, it's a classic French way of cooking rabbit, is to cook it with bacon for
yeah.
the same reason.
Why not?
Yum, yum.
It's good. It's good. And deer hunters are out now too, so... A note of this. I live on a small farm on the edge of town, but actually there are bow hunters out there. And during gun season, there are gun hunters because we connect up to a river valley. There's woods there.
And you have a lot of woods.
Yeah, we have a lot of woods. I am not too proud to always grab my Hunter Orange Stocking League cap every time I go out because I don't want to be mistaken for something rustling in the woods. So that look for me. Look at me and my hunter.
Do you put an orange jacket on your dog when you go out?
No,
too?
I don't. I figure he's close enough to the ground.
Oh.
I certainly hope. But, I mean, there are many deer that visit our place, and we have bow hunters, and we have one or two gun hunters. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, I just want to remind them, hey, it's me. It's me. Don't shoot toward the house. Be careful out there, folks. But do enjoy the woods, the animals, and if you eat meat, enjoy the animals out there because we're all in this together.
Yeah,
yes,
and we do have an excess of deer. So.
Well, yeah, we do as far as, So, I want to remind you again, this is KHOY, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen.
I'll do it.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is the time of year that we tickle your ears with some information here. Do you listen to KHOI when you're driving in your car? Are you right at this moment in a drive-through line, sitting there waiting for your large McSlurp of something? Well, good for you. Listen to great radio on the program. You don't need to fool around with your phone when you're in the car. Other drivers and pedestrians are safer for it. And if you listen to KHOI, you're doing even better. So keep interesting and exciting radio programs coming into your car radio. Then you don't have to look at that text message and all that stuff. Just listen to good radio. Listen to KHOI. Now, as soon as you finish your journey today or any old time, you can become a member of KHOI by calling 515-292-2878. And you can sign up with a friendly volunteer who answers the phone. Basic membership is $60 a year, and that's a mere 16 cents a day. But that mere or trivelling amount of 16 cents is pretty important when it comes to keeping us together because lots of 16 cents a days keep us going. Or you can become a friend of KHOI at $250 a year. Again, that number is 515-292-2878. Or go to khoifm.org and click the donate button. So you can promote yourself from listener to member. You will be glad that you did.
And we will be glad that you did, too. We are all volunteers here. This donation is to just keep the lights on and pay the mortgage and, you know, keep us functioning.
Yeah. Do something for your community. Do something for yourself. Yes, yes. So, holidays. Like we discussed earlier, I think both Donna and I are going to probably be not participating in the Black Friday thing. We'll enjoy our...
No, I have so much stuff I need to clean my house out, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Spread it around a little bit.
This is a good time of year to do that. I don't know how many pairs of mittens and hats that need a new home, and I bet there are people out there that might want them. So now is the time. Now is the time, and it's also time to work on that feeling of anxiousness and skimpflation, not having enough. We do have enough, as long as everybody has their fair share. So I've got a little bit to share here from. I get a magazine called Yes Magazine, and they run facts and figures, and they also run facts and figures about things that not everything is doom and gloom.
It's a
positive news magazine, and their issue. I have an issue here about the fact of enough. What is enough? And people have been using energy in one way or another, and it's amazing how some people use hardly any energy, electricity and gas and all that kind of stuff, and other people use a whole lot. There is an amazing chart here that lists Lesotho and a bunch of other African countries as using hardly any energy per person. And the biggest energy users on this planet are, it's amazing, is Qatar, Iceland, Trinidad, Tobago, you wouldn't believe it, Bahrain, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates. Their little numbers are way off the charts, and we're kind of maybe just right next to them. United States, we use 9,029 watts of energy per person per year, so. Oh, that's a lot, I think. Equitable resource distribution requires the affluent countries to reduce their ecological impact. Where could that convergence happen? Where could the folks that don't have enough get a little bit more, and those that have way too much or way off?
I think
plenty.
They were working on this issue in Glasgow, and nobody came away happy.
Nobody,
this is a hard nut to crack.
Nobody wants to do that, but it's something we'll have to do, okay? They figured out that the UN Sustainable Development Goal can be achieved worldwide with an energy flow of about 1,300 watts. Per capita. It's about what Cuba uses. And don't panic, folks. We're still working on that. But still, think about ways to save, first off. And it's not so much about giving up as about being happy with what you have. For instance, what is a fair size of a house? There's an organization called the Institute for Applied Systems Analysis, Decent Living Standards, that came up with, we could probably get around just fine with 323 square feet of space per person, in a little apartment-y thing. And we could do that, okay. And then what's a fair share of food? For optimal health, 2,353 calories. Is for an
per
average
day.
Per day per average adult. The U.S. currently uses 3,682.
Yes, and thus we have the obesity
problem. There we go.
Hello.
We have to fight that problem.
I mean, having more than enough is often not particularly good for you.
For us. And again, one more thing. What's a fair share of water? A safe, reliable water supply. How much? 13 gallons per capita. We could do it if we had to. That's nice to know what these numbers are currently. Well, actually, as of 2015, this is an older one, the U.S. daily water use is 82 gallons of water a day.
Oh, it's those long, hot showers.
Long, hot showers. Yeah. There you go. There you go. What is enough exactly? Yes. Well, we've got some upcoming things for the holidays.
Yes.
Besides Donna,
yes.
It sounds like you're going to be a flurry of fun in the kitchen.
Well, I'm hoping so. I truly enjoy that, and I hope I feel inspired this year. You know, of course, with the rising COVID numbers in Story County, one is not sure how much celebrating we're going to be doing. But I have to say, last year when we were quite shut down, one thing I did was at least make things and run around and deliver them on people's front porches. So we will at least be able to do that.
We can do that. We can do that. There are some upcoming events, and here is a KHOI-related event. There is a concert coming up. And we can learn more about that right here.
On an evening such as this.
KHOI and C.Y. Stevens Auditorium present an evening of Susan Werner on the big stage at C.Y. Stevens. Discounted tickets, which include a contribution to KHOI, are available at khoifm.org. She recently tweeted out that Stevens Auditorium is an Iowa Farm Girls Carnegie Hall. Susan Werner is a composer of Broadway-bound Bull Durham, the musical. The concert is on November 21st at 7 p.m., but discounted tickets, including a donation to KHOI, are still available at khoifm.org.
We are back. That should be a good concert.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there. We're ready.
We'll be there. I remember I've been kind of following Susan Werner as an Iowa performer for many years. I caught her a few times when she was in the maintenance shop, but now, my goodness, she's off in New York City doing fancy things. I'm glad she's back. I am glad she's back.
And that's this coming Sunday night.
This coming Sunday night,
okay.
Yes. So, also remember this time of year, buying local, that's a good thing. And there's all these, like, holiday fairs at churches and events, and some at wineries, too, and fancy places. And it's nice.
Well, the bourbon I bought was Iowa bourbon.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
Buy local. I like that a lot. That's good. And there's also alternative gift giving. We've had people on the show before talking about if you've have way too much stuff, and all your friends have way too much stuff, there's an awful lot of people in this world that don't have enough. So give a gift of a donation to a worthy cause, someone
like KHOI.
Yeah, or there's all kinds of things. You can
give a goat to an African family, or what's that? Heifer International,
yeah.
There and lots of alternative gift-giving things.
Yeah, that's good. You know, there's these people standing by doors ringing bells this time of year, and you can put money in those pockets. That's good. And you can take a breath and slow down and give from the heart and enjoy this season as it's coming up.
Enjoy the giving.
Enjoy
as well
giving.
As the receiving.
And you can give a gift of radio. Give a membership to somebody that you love, or give it to a KHOI membership to somebody you don't even like all that much. And boy, will they be surprised for Christmas. They'll just really enjoy themselves. And we will appreciate your concern about this radio station. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We had music today by the band Grammony. They're situated up in Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, they are. We've heard the Backcountry Ramble, and we'll go out with Hans's Waltz. Support this fine radio station. You can call 515-292-2878 or go to our website, khoifm.org, and click the Donate button. My name is Lana Noctico.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.